Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, January 16th, 2014. A year ago, the morning low was 17 degrees in Tucson. So it's nice to be up in the mid-70s today. What a difference a year makes. If you have a question or comment, would like to join us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can also follow us on Facebook. We're easy to find, Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Let's welcome now our leadoff interview, Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek, representing Ward 6. Steve Kasachek, Councilman, how are you today?
I was just moaning with Rose off the air that I'm just feeling old today.
Why is that?
Oh, got out and ran with weird posture, slept weird. You know, it used to be when you were a little kid, you could sleep in any position you had and didn't wake up stiff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't happen anymore, so.
Well, I see you running all over town. How many miles are you doing now a day?
12, 13, something like that. That's about a baseline day.
Does it make you feel better and energized after it's over?
Some days, yes, and some days not so much, but I do it every day anyway.
Let's talk a little bit about downtown. As part of the Rio Nuevo settlement with the city last year, Councilman, fixing sidewalks and other streetscape improvements downtown were on the agenda. Is that work going to begin soon, or has it already begun?
Well, not with Rio Nuevo money, because there's still in place a 2009 legislative roadblock that, frankly, was legitimate back in 2009, because at the time everyone remembers the kind of storied history of Rio and the city squandering a bunch of cash. The legislature put in place some conditions, two of them in particular. One is that Rio Nuevo put money into the primary component of the district, that's the TCC, and get a notice to proceed issued on a hotel. Well, we've done the first one. We, the city in Rio, we've got about $8 million going into the TCC right now with the TIF money. The second part of that is we're close, and we've got a couple of hotels, not the mega hotels that we were talking about with public money last, in 2009, but a couple private sector people who are stepping up to the plate and trying to get their financing in place for mid-price point range hotels, about 150 to 200 rooms. Once that happens, the roadblocks are out of the way, because we will have between the city and Rio Nuevo met the restrictions that on the TIF money. So then we can start. Well, Rio Nuevo, I keep saying we, but it's really the Rio Nuevo board who would authorize it. Spend the dollars on some of the streetscape and some of the facade work and that kind of thing. There is a move afoot right now with the Rio board to try and get the legislature to ease off on those restrictions. A couple of thoughts on that. I think we're close enough so that we might make that a moot point anyway by the end of the legislative session. By getting that hotel off the ground, troubles me a little bit that the guy they're paying to lobby for him is Jonathan Payton, who is the guy who also drafted the legislation to put the roadblocks in place. So there's I find that a curious relationship that I would rather see Mark Irvin and Fletcher McCusker and some of the current members of the board speak for themselves up there. But yeah, we're close to getting that done, and frankly, we have a good relationship going on right now with the board, and we're doing some good things.
Steve Kasachek, Tucson City Councilman, Democrat Ward 6, with us on the Buckmaster Show, and there are certainly a lot of positives going on with downtown, but one big negative, and a lot of people saying it's discouraging them from going downtown, is this downtown parking ticket penalty scale, which I believe tops out nearly at $200, and it's said to be the highest in the country. What are the prospects for altering that?
Well, I think people need to understand that the bulk of that money, it's like, and I don't smoke, but it's a good analogy, it's like going and buying a pack of cigarettes. Almost all of what you're paying for is tax money. Almost all of that ticket revenue goes to the state. So it's not, that money is not coming into the city, and so a lot of it gets siphoned off. So we don't have direct control over the whole amount of what a parking ticket is for downtown. I do know that the Parkwise people, Donovan Durbin, who I used to work with in the Ward 6 office, is now running Parkwise, and he's doing a lot of work with the merchants and also with the city finance people to try and come up with some new rates for the parking structures to free up some of the on-street parking. But that's not really directly related to your question. But it's tangentially related because what it does is it frees up parking in the parking garages and gets it off-street, which is a little more easy for people to manage. We're also putting in place some of the new smart meters. If you drive around the university campus, these are the ones that you fill with your credit card, and you can also do it remotely with a phone if you have a smartphone. And so that makes people a little bit less susceptible to just not having enough quarters or overstaying their meter and not getting back in time. So there are things in place to try and mitigate the causes of why that's happening, but the actual dollars themselves are not all City of Tucson dollars. A bulk of that goes to the state.
But you would agree it is a discouragement to many.
Oh, absolutely. People. And there was a story on KVOA a couple of nights ago about a private parking lot downtown that their signage is completely misleading. It says flat rate $5 on weekends, and anybody walking up reading that sign, at least I would walk up and read that sign saying it's going to cost me $5 to park there all day. And they were fining people for staying for 3 hours, and all of a sudden that $5 turned into, 3 hours times 15, times $5. So, so we have issues like that that, to me, if you talk to somebody about coming downtown, they'll talk about the restaurants, they'll talk about all the private sector development we got going on and all that good stuff. But as you correctly point out, the one burr under people's saddle in terms of coming down is a parking issue. And so Parkwise is working on it, but that private parking company needs to get their act together also and correct their signage so people understand what they're really paying. You're right.
790-2040, 790-2040. Steve Kasachek is with us on the Buckmaster Show. The base commander at Davis-Monthan, Councilman, has formed a new committee. I think he's calling it the Davis-Monthan Tucson Valley Council. It's basically a forum that's going to meet monthly with elected officials. The meeting is closed to the public. Is that a big mistake?
Well, we've had, in this, first of all, Colonel Blanchard has every right, and I applaud him for wanting to sit down and meet with elected officials and just have kind of having an update sort of a conversation. This is not a policy making group. They're according to what I'm being told, it's the base sort of briefing the elected officials on their thoughts and getting input from the elected officials. Who they have are mayors, as I understand it, from the surrounding communities, including Jonathan from Jonathan Rothschild from the city. So the concept is great. It's fine. My concern is that it should be open and transparent. People have a concern right now about secrecy in government everywhere from the federal level, as we watch the news every night about the NSA and all that kind of thing, to the local level about having your government and your governing officials accessible to you. And my sense is that if this is truly simply a briefing, an update, no classified information, none of that going on, then I think from a public relations standpoint, it probably makes sense for them to hold it off base in a publicly accessible venue and just open it up. They don't have to open up for a call to the audience or anything like that, but just open the doors and let the general public come and listen and hear, and let the media in, let the media come and listen and hear, so that they understand what the issues are that DM is facing and also hear the input from the surrounding communities. So it's a great concept in terms of forming the committee, but I think it ought to be open for public scrutiny.
Steve Kasachek, we have a couple of callers to the Buckmaster Show live line. Both want to talk about downtown and the parking situation. Lauren is up first. Go ahead, Lauren.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'll try to keep it brief. I was really shocked last year. I'm an attendee to the gym show, and the parking police guys with their yellow vest on and their clipboards were busy targeting not specifically out-of-staters, but there were certainly four or five people I saw receive tickets. The shock was it was a Saturday, and it was near St. Mary's and Main. So this would be just east of Main on one of the side streets. And I was really shocked. I went back to my vehicle because I was intimidated, and I think Bill's right that we're afraid to go downtown because of this. I can't afford $200, so
okay.
I went back to my vehicle and stood by it, and when those guys approached, I said, am I in violation? Have I done anything wrong? And they checked to make sure your tires are not more than 18 inches from the curb, that you're not too many feet too close to an alley or driveway. It's frightening. But the key thing, it was during the gem show.
Okay.
And I'm thinking that's fabricated.
All right. Lauren is intimidated downtown, going downtown. Go ahead, Councilman.
Well, and, you know, as far as the gem show is concerned, you know, first of all, he's right. People in terms of being, this is an issue. And you correctly brought it up, Bill. As far as Lauren's situation is concerned, we have a guy right now named Andy Squire who is working specifically under the city manager's auspices to prep the TCC and to work with Visit Tucson in terms of promoting and getting ready for the gem show. And I've been working with them for several months now in terms of just getting the venue secured and, you know, making sure that we got the internet up and running and all that kind of thing. As far as the parking is concerned, gem show operators want to be close to the venue, and so one of the fights that I had a couple of years ago was trying to get the parking rates down as close to the TCC as possible for the vendors and for the people participating in our two really flagship gem show, AGTA and TGMS, the ones that use the TCC. To me, if they're coming into this community and spending the kinds of dollars that they do, we probably ought not be charging them $8 to park right up next to the venue that they're also renting from us. So, you know, I take Lauren's point. You know, right in front of the gem show, let's recognize what an economic engine this is to the community and cut them some slack.
All right, Mark is up next. Mark, please keep your comment or your question quite brief, and I'll ask the councilman to keep his answer brief so we can take our first break. Go ahead.
Absolutely. I'll be very quick. I'm just a little confused, and I'd like to ask you to clarify your answer because you alluded to the parking price of $188 for a parking fee being substantially high because of the fact that the state fees are included. Well, then, why is it that a parking ticket in Tucson is $188 and a parking ticket in Phoenix is about $50? So I would assume that the state fees are about equivalent. Can you clarify that, please?
Well, I can't validate the numbers you gave because I've never had a parking ticket. So, you know, taking you at your word that they're 188 versus 50, I will check and I'll circle back with Bill and get the exact breakdown because I don't have it in my head. But I have checked with the Parkwise people and I've checked with the city people and the answer I gave is what I was told. So I'll try and find out an exact breakdown. I'll circle back with Bill and he can tell you over the air.
Okay, thank you very much. Steve Kasachek will stick around for another segment. We're going to take our first break. It's the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We will be right back.
I'm Tony Penn, President and CEO of the United Way of Tucson and Southern Arizona. We can help you receive all the tax credits and deductions for which you are eligible. We're putting thousands of dollars back into our local economy. For more information, visit unitedwaytucson.org or call 211.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
Don Pooley.
You're
Janos Wilder.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Bill Harlow.
Great to see you.
Doug Martin.
I thought I just saw you.
Diana Cannon.
Thanks for coming.
David Sleuth.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Fina.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
I know that face.
Mike Bader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party, too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
The UA College of Science presents this year's lecture series, The Evolving Brain, Monday evening starting January 27th through March 10th at UA Centennial Hall. Lectures are free and open to all. Now in its ninth year, the UA Science Lecture Series with its distinguished speakers gives opportunity to discover astonishing new insights about the evolution of the highly complex human brain. More at cos.arizona.edu. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amori on the web at veroamori.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? Well, not all news is good news. You know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you are a low to moderate income family or individual, you can get your taxes filed for free. With United Way's tax preparation program, IRS certified volunteers help prepare and file your state and federal income taxes. Visit UnitedWayTucson.org or call 211.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Tucson City Councilman representing Ward 6, Steve Kasachek, is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Councilman, I understand you're working on an ordinance to ban the sale of so-called puppy mill dogs within the city of Tucson. Phoenix has adopted a similar ban.
Yeah, I think Phoenix went a little bit too far in what they did, but I'm right now in the midst of meeting with rescue groups, shelter people, also retail people, because what I don't want this perceived as being is me stepping up and saying that you can't go to a pet shop and buy a dog or a cat anymore. What this is really simply a reflection of the fact that we have the Pima Animal Care Center and the Humane Society euthanizing literally thousands of dogs a year. And this is not a slam on either of those agencies. What it really is a commentary on is that we have a community that has, frankly, too many dogs that haven't been spayed and neutered, and so they're creating puppies, and people aren't in a position to take care of them. And so other communities have put together restrictions on the source of the animals that are being sold retail. And the source is generally a large broker in the Midwest, the Hunt Corporation, who goes and buys dogs as commodities and sells them en masse to pet shops. And they, with little or no concern for the treatment of the animals, either during the littering stage or during transit. So what we're trying to do is put together an ordinance that would simply say, if you're going to sell a dog or a cat through a retail outlet, source the dog or the cat through PAC, Pima Animal Care, Humane Society, one of the rescue agencies, and there are 71 of them in around Tucson. One of the elements I'm trying to get my arms around right now is the backyard oops litters. Mm-hmm. To allow people to still have the option if Fido has a litter and you don't want to take it to the pound because you don't want to take a chance of the dogs getting euthanized, then you should still have an opportunity to take those dogs and donate them to a retail outlet. What I'm finding, though, and I've done a lot of talking to a lot of people on this, is the legitimate breeders don't care a whit about what I'm doing, because they say, we don't sell, we the breeders, it's drawn into their codes of ethics anyway, that they are precluded from selling dogs by their own codes of ethics to retail outlets. And so this is not going to affect breeders at all. So we're close, and I've spoken to a couple of the retail folks in town, and there's really only one that's really dealing with in a major way with the Hunt group out of the Midwest. And so I think that this is an opportunity for them to become a part of the solution that we have here just locally in terms of too many dogs and cats being euthanized.
I noticed in your Ward 6 newsletter that you put out, I think you put that out weekly, correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, you talked about greyhound racing and the state subsidizing out of the general fund. How much is it a year that...
There's about a couple of years ago, the state legislature told the Department of Racing that they were going to be weaned off of the general fund, and that's good, because the general fund has things such as CPS and education, et cetera, that they need to be funding. Still, though, the Department of Racing is spending over $2 million out of the state general fund. About 1.7 of that is going to things such as promoting county fairs and giving awards to breeders. Another $500,000 is based on formula, so this is a round number. Another $500,000 is going to the Tucson Greyhound Park in the form of what's called a hardship tax credit. They set a threshold back in the mid-90s, saying that if your paramutual handle fell below that level, and it was about $27 million, as I recall, then we, the state, the taxpayers, will give you a tax credit for the delta, for the difference between what your handle is and what the baseline was. Well, they're always below that because the industry has just plummeted, and so they're always winding up dipping into the general fund at the state legislative level for a tax credit. And my sense is that we have other priorities in the state other than holding up the Tucson Greyhound Park from the general fund. And so I would like to see some of the deficit hawks up in the state at the state legislature remove that tax credit, really wean the DOR, Department of Racing, off of the general fund, stop promoting county fairs, and start using those $2 million plus to do things like hire some more CPS workers or put some money into schools.
Or put some money into films in this state.
Oh, man, yeah, my soft spot. So we just, I would love to see the legislature adopt what New Mexico has and all, in fact, every other state but 10 in the country, and every other western state has a film incentive package. We just were able to take a baby step at the council level a couple of weeks ago, where we joined the county, who is already giving incentives to companies coming in and using old Tucson and Mescal and some of their facilities. Visit Tucson, our CVB, is already ahead of us also. They put some money out, cash money, and are offering incentives through their bed tax. And so finally the city joined on and said, we will also give a significant rent reduction if you come in and the threshold is a $2 million production value. So everybody who shoots a YouTube isn't coming in and asking for the incentive. But it is going to give us the opportunity to now create that three-legged stool, the city, the county, and the CVB, to see if we can show the state legislature that this works on a local level and a regional level, and let's do it statewide. New Mexico just had Breaking Bad end their two- or three-year run of whatever it was up there. Mm-hmm. They wanted a film here, Bill. And the only reason they didn't, and I've spoken to some of the producers. In fact, we hosted a group from L.A. that shot Hot Bath and a Stiff Drink. They've done two shows of it now. And I talked to the producer, and he said, what I have to tell my people when we're coming to Arizona, I have to take 30% off the top because that's what you're leaving on the table.
All right. Steve Kosacek, thank you very much. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks. I'll get you that answer back on the parking thing.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Glendora, California police chief says three people have been jailed on suspicion of recklessly starting a wildfire burning in the foothills of the San Gabriel Mountains near Los Angeles. That blaze has charred almost 200 acres, two homes have been destroyed, one person suffers burns, and up to 2,000 people have been evacuated as the fire continues to burn out of control. Students have returned to a middle school in Roswell, New Mexico, 2 days after authorities say a 12-year-old boy opened fire in a gym, sending two students to a hospital. More charges have been filed against a Cincinnati man who is seeking to be released from jail to attend the funeral of his 11-year-old daughter, who he is accused of accidentally shooting to death. On Wall Street, the S&P is down about 4 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
This is exactly how you found him. Mr. Arp, would you mind if Dr. Watson has a look at him?
Not at all.
Thank you.
One of the lumbar vertebrae, the third vertebrae.
Thank you. Simple as ABC, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not all things are as easy as ABC, but there are many ailments that can be treated with chiropractic care. Hi, this is Dr. Watson with Chiropractic USA. Did you know that chiropractic care can help with migraine headaches and high blood pressure? With natural chiropractic care, we go to the root cause of your headaches and high blood pressure without the side effects of other costly treatments. At Chiropractic USA, we can also help with dizziness and equilibrium problems because 85% of the nerves that help us adapt to our environment are behind your neck at the base of the skull. If you want a natural alternative to your health challenges, call Chiropractic USA for an appointment at 818-7788. In most cases, referrals are not needed unless you're a VA veteran. Chiropractic USA for the well-adjusted life. 818-7788.
If you want the great taste of bottled water without the hassle of going to the store, call Culligan and ask us about the Culligan bottled water delivery service either to your home or to your place of business. Culligan bottled water is as pure as it gets. The basis of the treatment of the bottled water is steam distillation. Its processing and its cleanliness is a healthy alternative to other beverages. Culligan water is fresh and delicious, one sip will tell it all. And since Culligan water is delivered right to your door, residential or business, you won't have to lug heavy bottles. Whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water taste better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Right now, for a limited time, you get 30-day full money-back guarantee, trial to include. Water dispenser free for 1 month. Initial 15 gallons of water free. Thereafter, $6 per month on the dispenser and $6.95 per 5-gallon bottle with an annual service agreement. Call Culligan at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now!
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready!
Okay, okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support!
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business!
The call has started.
Good morning. I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit CoxBusiness.com and switch today. Offer ends 4/30/14. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on Cox Business Internet 150 megabits per second service versus basic 1.5 DSL. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
Six on the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Assurance Healthcare. Assurance, a home healthcare company formed to provide home-based medical services as an alternative to expensive out-of-home care. You deserve the best home care, Assurance Healthcare can take care of it. Ready to deliver that home care? Assurance Healthcare is a division of Symphonia Healthcare Corporation. You can find out more at assuranceaz.com, and they have a very easy phone number to remember, 333-0333. Joining me in studio, Dr. Christian Moore. Dr. Moore is Symphonia's chief medical officer. Prior to joining Symphonia, this board-certified family physician and UA Arizona Medical School graduate was the medical director for CVS Minute Clinics and has been the team physician for the Tucson Padres. He's also assistant professor at the UA College of Medicine. In addition to his corporate duties, Dr. Moore supervises the medical component of the new Assurance Hospice program. Dr. Moore, good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me back.
How did you get involved, and what got your interest in hospice care?
It's a great question. It's a difficult topic sometimes. My stepfather, who's the man who raised me, was an internist back in Michigan, and he unfortunately was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, or ALS, which is a devastating neurological disease. And so my wife and I moved back to Michigan, and we were able to help take care of him. And at the end, he went into hospice at home, and I took care of him until he died. And he died at home surrounded by his wife and his children, and he got to hold his grandchildren, and he got to look us each in the eye and say goodbye. And that made a really powerful impact on my life and my practice since then.
Hospice, would you define it as being a team hospice-based model of care for patients?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think a lot of people feel that hospice is a place. I'm going to get sent to hospice, and hospice is not a place. It's a model of care for patients and their families who are dealing with terminal illness or terminal conditions. We can do it at a patient's home. We can do it at a nursing facility or assisted living facility. It can take place in the hospital, or it can take place at an inpatient hospice. Assurance is focused on taking care of patients at home, which is where most patients want to be.
There are now over 5,000 hospice programs in the United States, and it continues, the hospice concept continues to gain acceptance, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely right. It's really a powerful thing to watch. And we know that in 2009, that of all the people who have Medicare who passed away at that time, about 40% of them died utilizing hospice care. So, and that's up from 23% in the year 2000. So that's doubled in that amount of time. And I think patients are buying into the concept of going out on their own terms, being comfortable and in control.
What are the advantages of hospice?
So the big advantage is that you get to be at home, mm-hmm. and that you have a team of people that are taking care of you. We have an entire team that meets at least every 2 weeks, and we meet around a big table. We have our computers, and we have the patient's charts, and we discuss every patient that is on the service and everybody who's come in contact with that patient, from the chaplain to the home health aide to the nurse to the social worker, gets input during that meeting. So we empower our people from every level, because they're the ones that are in the home, and if they see that a patient has a need for physical therapy or speech therapy, a swallow evaluation, or maybe new oxygen equipment, we're able to get that stuff to the patient as fast as we can.
You know, one word keeps popping up in my mind when I think of hospice: dignity.
Absolutely. And comfortable death with dignity is kind of the motto for most hospice programs. And we really want to make patients comfortable, and we want to give them control. I think that when we're dying, it is stressful on every possible level. There's a concept of total pain that we talked about, which includes physical pain, which of course you can have from different diagnoses, but also psychological pain, that the anxiety and depression that go along with these diagnoses, social pain, the fear of separation from loved ones, the fear of things that we've left undone.
Loss of control,
financial stressors. And then there's also spiritual pain. No matter what people's spiritual beliefs are, a lot of us will suffer from some kind of crises, existential crises, when we're dying. What is the meaning of this? What did my life mean? Where is my purpose in the universe? And so our job is to kind of help people work through that.
How does it work then with Assurance's hospice program?
Yeah, so yeah. If there's a lot of different ways to get involved. Patients can call us directly at 333-0333. Patients' physicians can contact us. And we also have Assurance is a home health nursing company as well. So sometimes we have patients on that service who eventually become so debilitated that they are able to be moved over to hospice. And it's great for them, because they get to see a lot of the same staff that they've had in their home all along.
When is hospice appropriate? When is it, when is someone deemed appropriate for hospice?
Right. Great question. And it comes up a lot. And so the big time that it's appropriate is when a patient, in concert with their physician and their family, decides that the therapies that they are trying to use to cure something, whether it's chemotherapy or radiation or other medicines, are no longer working, or that the burdens of these treatments, the side effects, are unsustainable. They outweigh the benefits of those side effects. And in that situation is when hospice is great. There are some rules and regulations that we go through, but we can certainly help patients and their families go through that.
And you'll sit down with the family and go over the whole program with them.
Absolutely. We would send a nurse out that day, the day that we get the consult, and then they would sit with the patient and their families, kind of discuss what we're about, discuss the team. You know, we have a big team of people that helps with us. We have a registered nurse who kind of is the point guard, like T.J. McConnell for the Wildcats, and he or she helps to set us up and to put people where they need to be to help these patients. And then myself, I'm the hospice physician. I do medical and administrative duties. I visit patients in their homes. I help to write orders to make sure that they're comfortable. I try to coordinate care with their primary care providers if he or she wants to be involved. And I make sure that patients and their families have my cell phone number. So that
that's big.
Oh, absolutely, it's big. Because the last thing you want in the middle of the night is a hassle trying to get a hold of somebody.
Yes.
And we have other care team members, too. We have the patient's primary care doc, social workers, which are able to help with everything from counseling to financial support. And we provide bereavement counseling and support up to a year after the patient passes away. We have a spiritual care coordinator who is non-denominational, non-specific, just there to kind of help with the work of dying. And we have home health aides. We have volunteers and the ability to get durable medical equipment there as well.
Slip that headset on because we're going to take a quick call here, Dr. Moore, from one of the Buckmaster Show listeners. Roberta, go ahead. You're with Dr. Moore.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if, well, there's a growing need for caregivers for people with multiple chemical sensitivity who can't be exposed to fragrances and chemicals. And I'm wondering if you have any caregivers who are free of fragrances and chemicals who can meet the needs of people with multiple chemical sensitivity.
Yeah. Pretty good question there.
That's a great question, Roberta. And it seems like we see that diagnosis more and more, and it's really a complicated issue for both the patient to deal with and the caregivers to take care of. I do not know the answer of whether it's a specific nurse or aide that is specifically fragrance or chemical-free, but I guarantee that we could figure that out, and
yeah,
we would be happy
like,
to work with you.
That seems like something that if there was someone, a patient with that particular sensitivity, things could be worked out that the person that interfaces with them would not have any kind of fragrances on them.
Right? Absolutely. And usually in situations like that, and what's more common is for someone to have a latex allergy or something like that, we'll put a big sign on the door before people even walk in there so that people are aware, because that is really a difficult issue if you're having respiratory or skin problems related to that chemical sensitivity syndrome.
But you're going to work with people.
Absolutely.
That's it. AssuranceAZ.com is a good place to go, and also that very simple phone number to remember 333-0333 for any questions about Assurance Arizona and the health care that they provide and their team concept with hospice, and they really do it all. Dr. Moore, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Buckmaster.
Thanks a lot. We will be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell, and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook, or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanqueverty Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Moncada Construction, licensed, bonded, and insured. Chris Moncada and his team specialize in interior painting, drywall repair, and insurance restoration. They also do great carpentry. You can call here at 390-2247, area code 520, or check them out on the web, Moncada, M-O-N-C-A-D-A, construction.com. And yes, they welcome credit cards. Well, this year's wildfire season received unusually intense media attention after 19 firefighters died near Prescott on June 30th and during August when a huge fire burned in and around Yosemite. Yet 2013 went into the record books as one of the quietest fire seasons overall in years. What happened? Let's explore that question now with the Buckmaster Show contributor on the environment. He is Mitch Tobin. Last year, Mitch launched EcoWest, a new website about our environment here in the West. Mitch joins us now on the live line from Colorado. Mitch, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. It's good to be with you.
You know, the wildfire season, there's fires that broke out today, I think, around the L.A. area, over in Big Sur in late 2013, kind of uncharacteristic time of year for fires to be breaking out. But then look again, California having one of the worst droughts in history, correct?
Yeah, there's actually a fire that's burning right now to the northeast of Los Angeles that's already destroyed some homes. It's up to about 2,000 acres. And it's very unusual to be talking about wildfires in January. But as you mentioned, California is in the middle of a very, very deep drought. They just came out with some figures, the federal government, showing that over the past year, in 2013, it was the driest year on record for California. And overall, they had about 33% of average precipitation in the state, and the snowpack right now is around 20%, which is just remarkable.
You know, these long-standing issues of fire suppression and the excess fuels, they continue to be the big issues. What progress, if any, is being made on coming to a consensus on the best way to do the fire suppression?
Well, last year's tragedy in Arizona and also the Rim Fire in and around Yosemite, I think it raised the profile of the wildfire issue, even though just statistically it turned out to be a down year, primarily just because it was very wet in the later summer in many parts of the West and in the East as well. So looking at national figures, it wasn't a big year as far as acres and acres burned. But I think those big events really raised the profile of this wildfire issue and the need for mitigating the risk through things like forest health treatments, some judicious thinning around vulnerable communities. And I would say that there has been some progress made in the sense that an increasing number of communities are making efforts to thin around vulnerable houses. But really, there's only so much you can do, and we probably wouldn't want people with chainsaws roaming around the woods, you know, pell-mell just cutting down trees. We want to really concentrate the work on the areas that are most vulnerable. So I would say there's been some progress made. There's prescribed burns that are used now to reduce the fuel, but it's still really a drop in the bucket.
Mitch Tobin is with us. Mitch is a former Arizona Daily Star and Tucson Citizen reporter and author of Endangered, which shows why so many species are at risk of extinction. He's also got the new website going. How is EcoWest doing?
It's doing well. I've been really pleased with it, and I've been enjoying it, just trying to keep tabs on what's happening in the American West as far as environmental indicators and metrics, things like the number of wildfires, the number of endangered species listed. And so I've been trying to use this as a platform to get this information out via data visualization, maps, graphics, things of that nature.
A lot of talk about the polar vortex during this recent extreme weather that much of the country, I think there was a time that here in Arizona we were about, there was like only 10% of the United States was not experiencing some below freezing temperatures. We were lucky enough here to be in Arizona during all of that. But what the heck is a polar vortex?
Well, so the polar vortex is something that's been known about for a long time. And essentially, the North Pole is shrouded in darkness during the winter. And so it's extremely cold up there. And so that mass of air, you know, made a southward movement into the United States and led to those very cold conditions. But, you know, whether it's the polar vortex or this extreme drought in California that's leading to the wildfire in Los Angeles today and potentially more ahead, I think, you know, it cuts to the heart of this issue of the weather versus climate. And really no one event can be used to prove or disprove theories of climate change and whether it's happening or not. But you can say that these types of events are examples of the types of weather we will expect to experience more and more in the decades ahead because of climate change. So more extreme droughts, more extreme precipitation events like the floods here in Colorado. And there's even some suggestion that the changing temperatures on the globe are affecting the polar vortex and how it situates itself during the winter. And so ironically, this cold snap could even be seen as an indicator of climate change, but you really can't pin individual events on climate change. There is some research that's done on trying to detect the fingerprint of warmer temperatures and the climate change we've experienced in some of these extreme weather events. But very often these events seem to be politicized.
Eric is with us. Can we squeeze Eric in? We're going to try. He's got a quick question. Go ahead,
yeah,
Eric.
I have a question for your caller. I take it you believe in the existence of evolution as a fact of nature, survival of the fittest, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So if species are endangered and they become extinct for whatever reason, isn't that just part of evolution, that they're not fit enough to survive? And why should we, why should anything happen to change what is survival of the fittest?
Okay, we've got about 30 seconds maximum for a very difficult big question.
Well, just a quick response, that it's true that species do naturally go extinct, but that's over a geological time scale, and the rate of extinction now is, you know, 100 or maybe 1,000 times greater than what's naturally been there, and we are driving species prematurely extinct, so we've tilted the playing field in a big way. So it's not really appropriate, I don't think, to use that analogy.
Mitch Tobin, thank you very much. Mitch, have a great afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show has been presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org, just three and a half hours east of Tucson to Silver City, and so much to do in historic Silver City, one of America's top 100 arts communities, great places to stay like Georgetown Cabins. We also want to thank Bottled Water on the Buckmaster Show. We want to thank Culligan for that. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. It's Wake Up Tucson tomorrow with Chris and Joe, and then Chris DeSimone with the Daily Double is on from 8 to 9 here on KVOI. I'm Bill Buckmaster along with our producer Rosemary Brandt. We hope you have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.